Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Wednesday night Parsha Halacha Shiur. Really welcome back to Dr. Adam. Welcome back to Alvin, anyone who's out of town, especially from Eretz Yisrael. We hope that we'll all be back in Eretz Yisrael soon. But it's very, very exciting to see everybody. So in less than a week, it's going to be Purim. In less than a week, it's going to be Shabbos. So let's learn a little bit about. Yeah, we'll learn a little bit about both those items. Parshas Tesav is about the big day Kahuna. Oh, I did not send the Marmok. Almost, but you'll take my word for it. I'll send them out right now. But the Torah says Vasisa, big day Kodesh. So let's get Carp, Jerome, Abi, and we're also on the Marcomos. All right, here we go. Abi Weintraub, Shlita. Abi should. All right, here we go. Send. All right, we're going to speak this year. We're going to speak this evening about the halachic restrictions related to Purim costumes. So we'll speak first about the concept of the Big Day Kahuna and the Parsha, and we'll transition out to some of the controversial halachas related to their begadim, and then we'll transition into some of the controversial halachas related to modern-day Purim costumes. So let's begin with the Parsha, Chav Ches Beis. Vasisa Big Day Kodesh La'aron Achicha L'chol L'sifaret. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make the begadim for the Kohanim. The Rambam in Hilchos Klei Mikdash Vavoda Yudalid writes, Mitzvah Sasei La'asos Begadim Elu Ulios HaKoin Ovid Bahem Shnemar Vasisa Begdei Kodesh. So this pasuk is the source for the Mitzvah Midah Araisa. And the Rambam writes, V'Kohen Gadol Sheshimesh B'Pachos Mishmona Begadim Elu. So hypothetically, if you were the Kohen Gadol and you had 8 garments to wear and you performed your Avodah in the base of Mikdash and you only were wearing 7 out of 8 clothing, hypothetically, would you have assumed that is a big deal or not such a big deal?
Big deal.
You would have assumed that, right? Yeah. So says the Rambam, if you're a Kohen Gadol and you're missing 1 out of your 8, or you're a Kohen Hedjo and you're missing 1 out of your 4, Hu anikra mechusar begadim v'avodasa psula. So the entire service that you officiated is now disqualified. V'chayv misa b'dei shemayim. Right, so now you're not, whoa. Kizar sheshimesh. That's what the Torah says, also in the Parsha Chavtes, meaning, the Rambam from the Gemara is saying, if you're wearing your special garments, then you're a Kohen. It's almost like you're not a Kohen if you're not wearing your begadim. Well, obviously not literally you're not a Kohen, but the point being is that Harehim Kizarim, in the sense that it's as if a non-Kohen performed the Avoda if you were not properly dressed for the job. So, wow, really serious halacha. Should be noted in the background, the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah aseh. The 33rd positive commandment in the Rambam's counting, the 613, he should sivar kohanim lelvosh begadim yuchadim lechavod l'savaris. You have to what? Wear the kohanim. The kohanim have to wear their special clothing. The oz yavdu b'mikdash. Very nice. So again, the Rambam goes on to elaborate on some of the halachos that we already learned. But the Ramban points out that the Rambam is against the Bahag. Would you have counted this as a mitzvah asay? What's the mitzvah? Says the Rambam, it's to wear the begadim, to officiate in the begadim. Says the Ramban, lo ra'isi labal halacha she'imna osab aval mana belavin mechusar begadim. It wouldn't have been more logical to say that if you don't wear the clothing when you perform the avodah, you have violated an aveira, you have violated a los aseh. Not that it's a mitzvah aseh, a positive commandment to wear the begadim, rather it's a mitzvah los aseh to perform the avodah without the begadim. Oh, very good. Right, so very good. So the he elaborates later, and I didn't give you the whole Ramban, but in the end of that piece, the Ramban writes, so the das of the Baal Halachos einam ela lehechsher avodo shenitztavinu ben argues the Ramban that to perform the avoda maybe is a mitzvah saseh. To not perform the avoda, I'm sorry, to perform the avoda without your begadim maybe is a lo saseh. So therefore, wearing the begadim is a hechsher mitzvah. It's only a preliminary stage. It's a prerequisite, but it should not be counted as its own mitzvah, rather as a hechsher mitzvah. Okay, and maybe Adam wants to call it, not that it's a los aseh, but it's an iser aseh. So yeah, why do you want to say that, Adam?
That's the way you just described it. But there's an aseh to wear the begadim, therefore you learn that it's a los aseh.
Right, meaning the los aseh is, you know, a spill out, you know, is an outgrowth of the aseh. I mean, the aseh being the primary mitzvah, right? All right, so it's an interesting machlokas Rambam Ramban about whether or not it's counted as its own aseh. Either way, be that as it may, the Rishonim will count it in their own way, and the Halakha is teaching us that the Begadim are Ma'akev, the Avodim. Now, when I was first learning Parshas seriously, Parshas Tetzaveh is a harder one to understand, and my buddy, the great Hagaon, Rav David Myers, did not only write on Parshas Truma now, in the last year he published on Parshas Tetzaveh. I was very excited that the great Rav David Myers, who wrote the Mishkan Illuminated, now has a sefer on the Big Day Kohen of Parshas Tetzaveh, and I got it this year from him directly. I'm in touch with him, an unbelievable Talmud Chacham from the Tel Yeshiva in Cleveland. And when I first started learning Tetzaveh, it was mostly about just what are the Begadim? What are the Begadim? Like, you know, what do they look like? What was their function? And when I got a little older, I learned the Gemara in Erechin, which says something that is seemingly mind-boggling, that each of the Begadim is Mechaper for a different Aveira. So to say that the Kohen needs to do the Avoda wearing clothing, I could hear. Okay, you need to dress the part, fine. But what does this Gemara mean? Erechin Tezayin Manal. Amar Rav Hanani Bar Sason. Lamanismacha Parshas Big Day Kuhuna Parshas Korbanos. So this juxtaposition. Big Day Kuhuna Korbanos. And the Gemara says, Ma Korbanos Mechaprin. Af Big Day Kuhuna Mechaprin. They both atone for Averos. Okay. Now, what does that mean specifically? So it's one thing to say that you bring a Korban, you do Tshuva. But how in the blazes does it make any sense to say that by wearing the Begadim, all of a sudden have an Avera wiped away? For example, the Ketones, Mechaperes al Shvichus Damim. So what does that mean? The under, you know, a garment over here, the Kohen wears it, and all of a sudden, Hashem forgives us for murder. Michnasayim, the pants, Mechaperim al Giloi Arayos. Okay, so I could understand the relationship between pants covering that part of the body, but what does that even mean, that the Kohen wears the pants and now Hashem forgives us? Mitznefesh, the hat, Mechaperes al Gase Haruach. Because Rabbi Hanina teaches us, right, that the hat is on top, like the haughtiness. David, what are you hearing here?
Because the Kohen wears it, people see it, and people are thinking, oh, this is what we did. That his pants are covering that. We have to ask Kapara on. We have to ask Mechila on.
Yeah, I think you have to be a pretty holy person to see the Kohen's pants and think like that, though, no, David, right? You see a hat and you think to do tshuva for Gaiva? It's a very nice pshat. I think.
Why is he wearing? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, everyone, you hear that pshat? Robert is skeptical.
Otherwise, why are you wearing that? He's the only one that's wearing those clothes.
Oh, and his clothing will draw attention. The Ramban says they were like Big Day Malchus at that time. You know, they resemble the royal clothing of the time.
And you only wear the, you don't wear them on Yom Kippur.
Okay, good. All right, yeah. But I don't know, yeah. So AB is saying a very nice pshat that people will think to do tshuva when they see the Kohen wearing those things. It's a beautiful pshat. I just don't know if it's true. Meaning, do you think you would do that? If you see me wearing Kohen, it's going to get you to think about your Averos.
If you were the Kohen Gadol.
Ah, very nice. So AB is saying, well, the Kohen Gadol, by definition, represents that avodah. Very nice pshat. Very nice pshat. So therefore, by definition, everything he does basically is a way to get us to do tshuva. Yeah, I don't know the mechanics. I can understand tshuva leads to kapara. What are the mechanics? It's going to lead to tshuva. Well, imagine I said, based on psukim, that when you wear pants, Hashem forgives you for gzela.
It's not directly.
Right, so it seems a little funny. Now, Jerome, you're right. The Gemara brings Makoros that there are links in the psukim between these Averis and these Begadim. But how does that mean that Hashem will therefore forgive us?
Because we'll do tshuva, man.
Yeah,
you can't not do.
Right, all right. So you're Mechami to Tosfos. But let's assume for a second, Jerome, that AB is not right. It has nothing to do with tshuva. The Gemara is saying. Yeah. Why the juxtaposition, right? Good. Right. But how? Ah, very good. So Jerome says, man, listen, does it really make sense to you that a korban is also mechaper? Doesn't make sense either. Hashem says what's mechaper. Hashem says mechaper. Very good. I like. So litvish, meaning Hashem gets to decide what's mechaper. It doesn't have to make sense to me. Korbanos don't have to make sense. You know, like, all right, the Ramban says, Yudavin, Rambam is a weenus off of a bottom line is, Hashem will decide how to mechaper. I like the pshat a lot. But that being said, we will see in Tosfos a little bit differently. But then we'll come back to your pshat, Jerome, and a Maharal. the choshen of zakah parah ladinin, right? The choshen mishpat. So let's say Beis Din made a mistake in their judgment, except etc. I skip the avnet is mechaper al hir hor alev, inappropriate thoughts. The ephod is mechaper al avodah zarah. Meal is mechaper al lashon hara, because the meal had bells on the bottom. So whenever the bells make noise, Hashem says, well, the bells noise will mechaper for the voice of lashon hara, and it sits right the plate on the forehead that Hashem says, mechaper al maase aze panim. If you were particularly brazen, you know, too confident, overly confident, you know, bold, whatever, your forehead was a little bit too bold, etc. So how would you translate as his punim then? Brazen is obnoxious. Okay, I should have said it more lighter. All right, that's what I meant. Well, that's what I meant to say. Okay, so either way, the clothing.
I was called an Aziz punim, not because I was 40.
Why?
All right. Bottom line is, there's a Gemara in Erechin that says that all these begadim are mechaper for Averus. So in this week's Parsha, when we learn about the Big Day Kuna, we should recognize a couple of things. Namely, they might be a bigger deal than one may have thought, that if you are missing one of the begadim, you have all this puzzle. Additionally, on a spiritual level, they were supposed to accomplish some form of kapara. And Tosfos in Maseches Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, says, well, by Zman Beis HaMikdash, the Big Day Kuna, Mechaper, Hani milikish asu tshuva. I mean, it wasn't like these were mechaper alone. In the same way, maybe a korban will only work side by side with tshuva. So too, these big day kahuna might have only worked side by side with tshuva. That is a little bit of a chiddush of Tosfos, and we'll just you learn Tosfos like Abi that the begadim inspired others to do tshuva, something like that. But the Maharal, I don't know if he would disagree with Tosfos, but it's not so clear that he agrees with Tosfos. There's a Maharal in Zvachim Bechesam Beis, where he writes, "V'kasher ha'im slabei she'adam she'ukoin be'elu big day kodesh." And the Kohen was all dressed up in these begadim. Haya misalek bazeh kol ha'chatayim. He would just remove the sins of the Jewish people. Ki big day Kohen kodeshim. That's what the Torah says. Like Jerome was suggesting, inherently there's kedusha, and inherently haim misalkim ha'chatayim. They remove the sin, because the sin al pi kabbalah al pi machshav Hashem begadim hatsoim.
Just by him wearing those begadim, everyone's
sin. I think the Maharal is suggesting what is seemingly crazy to Robert and very surprising to me as well, that how is it, hypothetically, when you throw the Seir La'Azazel off a cliff on Yom Kippur, that all of a sudden, poof, Hashem forgives us. And all of a sudden, when the Kohanim adorns these clothes, all of a sudden, poof, Hashem forgives us. Apparently, that is such a concept. I don't know exactly. The Peshat of Tosfos makes more sense that they have to do tshuva also, but I at least wanted to raise that Maharal.
The Kohanim and the Sa'ir did their part.
Right, so obviously it's not enough to wear the begadim because we had people who wore the begadim, and clearly we deserved punishment anyway. Yes, he was clearly referencing the Haftarah in the Parshas Chanukah, right? The big day Tzohim. You're saying, yeah, Zechariah, very good. Intermarriage.
Right, and then he changes his clothing.
Very good.
Puts on white clothes.
Very good.
All of a sudden, that's how he does.
Very good. You do by changing your clothes. Very good, Adam. Excellent. Either way, that was a little background of the Parsha. But one would have guessed that if these begadim were so holy, they should at least not violate Isur de Oraisa. But they do. One of the big day kahunas, machlokas, if it's only the big day kohen gadol, even a kohen hadyot. But there is the avnet. The avnet is shatnas. What are the mitzvah midoraisa violates shatnas? Tzitzis. But it's okay. It's not a violation because the Torah says black on white. This is what it is, right? It's not like it's a fancy drush, meaning the Torah itself says what the avnet was, and it consists of wool and linen. Okay. So the Rambam writes in Klei Mikdash Perches, Big Day Kuhuna Mutra Lehanas Ben. You can get benefit from the begadim of the Kohanim. So let's say you're a Kohen and you're performing today. Even if you're not currently performing right now, you could still wear your big day kuhuna. But no, if you're not performing the avodah right now, you have to get rid of the avnet. You're violating kalayim, so get out off the shatnas. And in the next halacha, also the kohen hedjot lelovsho elabashas avodah. So the Rambam again, if you're a kohen hedjot, you can't wear your avnet unless you're actually performing the service that you're supposed to be doing. But the Raiva disagrees, and the Ravid says, okay, actually, once it's your day, you don't have to quickly take off the shatnez. Once it's your day, you can wear the shatnez avnet all day. You don't have to be so worried, oh, I'm not performing the avodah right now, let me quickly take off the belt or whatever. No, if it's your day, it's your day. You don't have to be so worried and take off immediately. Okay, in the case of Mishnah, explains the Machlokas. But let's, is it an explicit Gemara that they're arguing about? And I wanted to just point out that the Big Day Kahuna are obviously a tremendous mitzvah, yet there's also Shatnez involved. Okay? And I guess the Mishnah wanted to give a little alumnus in the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, because, well, not for now necessarily. Let's go to the main topic of the evening, because believe it or not, there's an explicit question about violating Shatnez in your Purim custom. Now, I'm going to go out of order as is presented on the Mar Makomos. But would anyone here argue that you can wear a Purim costume with Shatnez in it? For what reason?
Unless it's Sitzes.
What if you dress up as the Kohen Gadol? So it's B'Shah Zavodah, right? No, a man will stand in 2020. Yeah. What's a Durabana? So therefore what?
Going against a Duraisa?
Oh, so Shlomo says, well, obviously you can't violate a Duraisa for the sake of a Durabana. That's what I would have said.
But doesn't the
Ramah say? What? What does the Ramah say? Oh, okay. So there we go. So we're going to see that there are Shlomo Menashe, buckle up. We got to learn one Ramah, but then we're going to learn another Ramah, the secret Ramah. All right, there's the famous Ramah, and there's the less famous Ramah. Let's see which is the real Ramah. There is a Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, before we quote the Darche Moshe, who also is the Ramah. Hilchos Purim, Tafrei Shadi Vavches. Uma Shenahagu Lilbosh Pirtzufim Bepurim. People wear masks or whatever. V'gever Lovesh Simlas Isha. A man dressed up like a woman. The Isha Klei Gever, and a woman dressed up like a man. Ain Isser B'davar. Fine. Why? Why isn't it a Dinsa B'Doraisa? Says Shlomo, what do you mean? Says the Rama, Me'acha Shein B'chavnin Ela L'Simcha Ba'ama. What's their Kavana? So who in the blazes would argue that you're allowed to violate an Isser B'Doraisa based on your Kavana? Imagine saying that such a thing. That's a very lofty heter. Wait. Peter the Navy. Yeah.
In today's day and age,
yeah.
When things have changed,
yeah.
Maybe it's a bigger problem to put that dress on.
I'm not going
to
quote you on that, but I agree with you fully. Okay, yeah.
He's saying, the point is, your kavana is not to wear this. The kavana is through this I'll be misameach. It'll be labedik. But the kavana is not. I want to wear shatnez. I want to wear.
Well, we haven't said anything about shatnez, but yeah, you're right. It's going to be the same thing.
I want to wear a simlas isha. I don't. You don't want to do that. You're only doing that for the. So the
that's right. Right. Meaning your kavana is not to dress like a woman. Your kavana is to enjoy Purim.
Right. So simchas.
But do you realize how insane that line is, Avi?
No.
Avi, kavana is a wonderful thing. You should have it when you damash Shemoneh Esrei. But to say that you're allowed to violate the Torah because you don't intend to. Very good. So that is very embedded into the DNA of Hilchos Shabbos. There's a thing called Melachos Machshavos. So that I can already argue back. To say that you're allowed to dress like a woman, but I didn't mean to.
No, I didn't mean to as an
Isser. Okay, I didn't mean to as an Isser. So you tell this to a high school kid, and then I'll go to McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? I didn't mean to do the trade. I was just trying to save money.
But the Rabbanan said, Purim, that's the mitzvah.
Okay, so. All right. So now I wanted to highlight the gravity of the Shilam. And then the Ramah does go on to say, V'chein b'levishas kalayim, but he adds one word, Durabbanan. Meaning you would be able to violate Shatnez on a Durabbanan level. So that doesn't mean you can violate Shatnez on a D'Oraisa level. And I don't know enough about Shatnez to know what is Shatnez D'Oraisa and what is Shatnez Durabbanan. Woolen lin is woolen. I don't really understand even the background enough then. But the Shatnez was Durabbanan, but what about wearing women's clothing? That's D'Oraisa, no? And then the Ramah says, V'yesh omrim de'aser. There's another opinion that says it's not allowed at all. But the minhag is to be makel. So we'll come back to that in a second. But I want to just point out a little bit of an inconsistency. The source for this halacha is in the Mahari Mintz. Now, the Mahari Mintz, Rav Yehuda ben Elazar, Halevi, mints. So 14 to 1500s, 1405 to 1508. Absolute gadol. Now, he has a tshuva that the Ramah quotes verbatim in the Darchei Moshe. The Ramah's commentary on the tour is a Darchei Moshe. He quotes the entire tshuva, and the main argument the Ma'ariv Mintz makes, the two main arguments. Number one, people were doing it, and the Gedolim didn't protest. So clearly, they were not bothered by it. And his other major argument is that men and women were doing it alike. So if you only had men dressing like women, okay, then maybe it could lead to promiscuity. But when you have everyone kind of doing it, it's clearly more of a, you know, the minhag, whatever. That's what people are doing. So he quotes this tshuva, and he says, well, if he's kol shekein d'aser lilvosh b'partufim, but we see everyone's doing it, nearly liyashiv a minhag, because there's a gemara that says, it's a Mishnah in Kalayim, the mutter lilvosh Kalayim, im eino mischavein lilvisha. There it is. Kavana plays a role. There it is. That, let's say you're wearing Kalayim, but maybe your kavana is to what? Avoid the taxes, or you don't want to be recognized as a Jew. And you're not, your kavana was not to wear them as clothing. Your kavana was for some other purpose.
So that does not apply to a costume. I want to wear a costume.
Sure it applies. You don't want to wear it. You want to be seen in different clothing. But you'd be happy if they would see you in different clothing, you'd wear regular clothing. You want the effect of what people see, not the clothing you want.
But there is at least we see by the Heter Kalayim that there is such a concept
that's
of
why,
your kavana. But then he writes, "Ve'efshar shemizeh nishpashet aminak lilbosh kalayim derabanan bepurim ve'osin l'simcha darei roin da'afilu iser de'oraisa doche." So even if one is allowed to violate the iser mi de'oraisa of seemingly beged isha, kilo mischavin kol shekein kalayim derabanan. So then again, ultimately, there was a minug, and the minug needed to be justified, and the Mahari Mintz in his tshuva was very, very apologetic. He says, I don't want to poke at anyone who's doing this because I've seen Gedolei HaOlam do it. And then the Ramah himself comes along and he says, okay, but I can be Miyashiv the Minog. So it's on the book somehow. And again, the biggest two points of Heter, again, that there's an explicit mission climb that says Kavana plays a role. And the Ma'ariv Mintz is Svara that maybe you could argue that if both men and women are doing it, that makes it a little better. Does that make sense? Because again, Rashi al HaTorah already, right, in Kiseitza, in the Pasuk of Lo Yilbash, when the Torah says, don't dress up like a woman, explains that because we're afraid that a man's going to dress up like a woman, and then people are going to think that he's a woman, and he's going to end up getting away with certain inappropriate behaviors or whatever. But if everyone's doing it, you know, you could argue that... Right. So Robert's like, you know that if more people do it, that's even worse, right?
So
all right, yeah.
The way this works is, quote unquote, everybody's doing it. It's removing it from the category of beged isha.
Right. It wouldn't be called beged isha if it's kind of like happening. But, you know, like. Yeah, if both men and women are doing it, it's almost like all bets are off, right? Yeah, there's not. All lines are blurred. Yeah. Right, meaning that there is no such thing as clothing that's unique to one gender on Purim if both genders are swapping.
Right.
But again, you hear how it sounds very controversial.
The idea that it's not permanent, it's just like a temporary, the clothing.
It's a temporary nature
yeah,
is also a major factor because that same tshuva, the Ma'ariv Mintz justifies some of these Purim pranks where people would steal things.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was only temporary in nature, there's such a concept. But what is that? Is that not also d'oraisa? I mean, again, you'd have to look at that original Ma'ariv Mintz a little bit closer. But ultimately, we have really surim d'oraisa and d'rabanan being waived in light of the kavana, in light of the spirit of the day. It's a very interesting idea. And the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, what's that, Peter?
Shatnez come under that temporary thing?
Seemingly here it does. I've never heard of it. Oh, you're trying to sue, but I...
Well, so you rented
I don't think so. No, I don't think. No, I don't think. So we generally assume that temporary is a justification.
The merchant to a shot is, yeah, if he's wearing, you know, several.
Right,
coats.
Right, several, right, right.
So that's some kind of temporary.
That's where your kavana is not to wear. Your kavana is to avoid it. It's kavana plays a role. Temporary doesn't really play a role. But here in Purim, again, the lines are all blurry. So just to make the halacha lamasa point a little clearer, that the Mishnah Brura over here, Shulchan Aruch Tafrei Shadivav, Sifkat and Lamed, he says, number one, look at Yoredeya, the name of the Taz, who quotes his father on the Bach, Sheish Levatel Minagzeh. This minhag should be abolished. Tein bapurim, o besimchas nisu, and you're just like a woman to me. Misamech chazam akala. Forget about it. It says ve'im kol malbushim shel ish rak malbush echad. Oh, and now we're talking differently. Let's say you're just like a man. One article of clothing is like a woman, and it's abundantly clear that you're a man. V'nikarim heim efshar she'ed l'mchos b'hem. Says the Prima Gadim as our first major heter in the Mishnah Brura, at least, that even within the machmirim, who think that the whole thing should be shut down, the Prima Gadim wants to argue that maybe if it's just one malbush echad shel isha, v'nikarim heim, and you don't really look like a woman, maybe you can argue, but he concludes by saying the Knesset Gedolah, the Shlah, we're not a fan, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, this was an old minhag when people knew how to tap into the spirit of Purim by doing these things. I.e., this is no longer a holy practice. I don't exactly understand what he means, but Ba'avonoseinu Rabim Arva Kol Simcha. I don't really know what he means by that. But he's saying we no longer appreciate this concept. It was the Rama was just writing it to justify what was happening in his day. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Velo Achshav. So he was writing in the earlier half of the 1900s, and now 100 years later, Peter's pointing out, Velo Achshav is ever more important, where people, you know, really need to kind of be told what's right and what's wrong. You know, absolute truth and differences in clothing are very blurry. Very, very, very blurry. Way too blurry. So, again, there's more there to talk about. In Yoredeya, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about Lo Tada Isha Eid Ish, that's the source in Shulchan Aruch for not wearing a woman's garment or a woman not wearing a man's garment. And the Ramah there, believe it or not, writes, Va'afilu Becha Min HaBagdal Maser. Even just one article of clothing is
this. Can I add, this is a little bit off, but in the general topic, I used to never see women who just wear dresses, they wear a dress. Now I see all the time on a cold day, they have pants on and then they dress over.
Yeah, leggings,
so
yeah.
So is that
yeah.
Just kind of like, say, well, I'm wearing a dress too, so that
that's
is
a problem
that.
In all it, from
it,
communities.
Yeah, it depends on your community.
I see, like,
No, but many Rabbanim don't think it's a problem, I'm pointing out. Many Rabbanim won't even think it's a shayla. Of course it's a lad. You know,
why is it a problem? Because it's highlighting. It's like wearing pants and not wearing pants.
Some of the Haredier...
But they're like leggings. It's not being... It's being done.
All right, wait, this is for the sake of time. Many prominent communities hold that women wearing pants is beged ish. It's not necessarily, the psak, in our community is more of about tzinius, not about beged ish. It's like, you know.
It's better than the alternative.
Whatever. Ultimately, they have my bracha. You can speak privately if it comes, whatever. Not for now. But the heter to only wear one article of clothing on Purim, the Prima Gadim, is against this Taz, because there's this idea over here in the Ramah that says even if you're only wearing one article for clothing, and the Taz over there says, Mashma derech idui bekishut asar val im oser kein mipnei hacham otzina, o gushamim ein iser kein nearly pashut. So again, the justification for the minug is all about kavana. That over here you have a Taz that justifies begedish or begedisha, you're allowed to violate when your kavana is not l'shem clothing, but it's l'shem something, like protecting you from the sun, protecting you from the rain. And that would not be considered wearing clothing. That would be considered something else. So there is a concept on the books that your kavana will justify a violation of beged isha. So although it seemed a little bit funny at first, it is a taz in Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya, and it's on the books. So ultimately, if one were to see a little bit of these activities going on Purim, a man wearing a female wig or skirt or something like that, so you have whom to rely upon. No question about that. It's a Ramah from the Rishonim quoting already. There's a Taz in Yoredeya. that your kavana plays a major role. You have a prima gadim that says if you don't look like a woman, it's clear that you're a man. It's not that bad. That being said, the tone of the Mishnah Brura and the Aruch HaShulchan are consistent in the fact that they don't recommend that you do these things. The Reb Nevensal Sefer, so he just has a couple of points over here. Hey, Mitter Lispalel Im Tachposhet. Can you daven in a costume? So when we speak about halachic limitations on costumes, so when you daven, you have to be dressed as if you're talking to a king. Would you ever talk to a king dressed like Spider-Man? You know, exactly, like a clown. So, you know, we assume that when you meet a king, you should be dressed the part. So the Reb Nevensal writes, Li'aladim mutter. So for little kids, Li'aladim, not a problem. But in the footnote, he writes, well, maybe on Purim, you would even not be embarrassed to see someone important with a costume, because after all, everyone's doing it. So there's such a svar of Ulai Purim Chashiv Shabiyom Zeh, who had Derech La'amod came, Gam even Anashim Chashuvim. So I don't think anyone would be embarrassed if they saw Rabbi Yudin on Purim dressed up. It's part of the day. You wouldn't, oh my gosh, Rabbi Yudin saw me in my clown costume. Ah, it's part of the day. It's, you know, it's okay. And the idea is on Shabbos, says Rav Nevin, so let's say Purim pulls out on a Friday. Can you remain in costume on Shabbos? And he writes, mutter. Right? Again, seemingly you'd have to, you know, whatever. You have to figure that one out. But, you know, homework. And what can you wear a costume when you're dressed up like a Russia, a non-Jew, a woman? He writes like this. You can dress up like whatever you want on Purim, but if you dress up like a priest, don't wear a cross. That's what I'm about to say, Shaila. And here's his trivia for you. You can dress up like a woman, but you can't wear a woman's clothing. Meaning, you dress like this. There's no issue to dress up like a woman. There's an issue to wear women's clothing. So I don't know if you, I guess if you drink enough on Purim, you can figure out how to do that. You know? Adam knows how to do this. Yeah. Well, how would you do that, Adam?
You wear clothing that a woman's ever worn before. It's not a woman's piece of clothing.
No, but it's a skirt by definition. It's a dress by definition.
Same thing.
Okay. Oh, all right. I don't know. All right. And then the famous question, then the prima gadim zeter, let's say only one of your clothing articles, only one thing you're wearing is Beged Isha, and it's only temporary. Is that okay or not? He says, Yachol Lios, Shigam Bazet over Al Lo Yilvash. He says, the heter is not so clear. So Rav Nevensal is not so make on this one. The idea being that it's not so clear that these Eterim are legitimate, meaning, you have Mari Mintz, who was quoting from Gedolim even before him. He was Mekel. The Ramah didn't want to mess with that. So there's a big justification. But ultimately, I think we have to come away with this year with two points, two very important points. On Purim, people do a lot of things, and they connect to Judaism. We try as hard as we can to justify if they're the Shem Shammai. If a person's only connected to Purim, is dressing up like, you know, whatever, you know, and that's the only time of year he shows up to shul, You don't kick him out of shul for wearing a skirt. You know what I'm saying? The halacha is clearly trying to include people. So I think that's an important point. And Purim is a day of Mishloach Manos, Reyes, etc. Good. I think point number two, though, is that we learn from the parsha that a person's clothing affects him very seriously. If the halacha is telling you that your mechnasayim are mechaper, for gilu arayos, that means your clothing have a big effect not only on you, but the people around you. And if Beged Isha could lead to gilu arayos, and the Kohen Gadol's begadim can be mechaper for Gilu Arayos or Yehurim. So you have to know, what will your clothing on Purim do to you? And how will they affect the people around you? How will they affect the community around you? I know when I dress up on Purim for my kids. You know, if I'm dressed up like Uncle Moishi or Midos Man. So you know what? It's clearly... Robert, very good. Very good. So you know, that was the man with the yellow hat. So the idea is that your clothing affects you and the people around you. And, you know, ideally you want the clothing on the outside to reflect the neshama on the inside. And the deeper pshatim behind the minute to get dressed up altogether will either be there to remind us that Mordechai wore the begadim, or that there's something deeper inside a neshama, in the same way that Hashem's miracles were hidden, so too there's something hidden within us. And the clothing is supposed to bring out inner strengths, inner talents, not inner weaknesses. So ultimately, there is a justification to wear a little bit of feminine clothing on Purim. Not necessarily recommended, but happy to speak privately if you have any personal questions.
There's one more.